Hey, Potters. Welcome to episode 129 of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay. We are finally live after fighting with Google and losing badly.
Very, very badly. I have just posted no more than less than a minute ago saying that I had to hodgepodge this thing. We are actually live on Twitch this time, which will then upload to YouTube. That way I can download and edit this mofo when all of it is said and done. My God.
Which eventually we may go over to Twitch, but for right now, this is kind of an unintended consequence of browsers updating and somehow suddenly being incompatible with Google Hangouts.
It was like incompatible with everything and anything. I was like, are you kidding me? And just to make it even worse, I mean, I tried it on three different browsers and I still couldn't get the sucker to work. So I give up. We'll figure it out. We'll figure out something. At least I know that this works and it's a solid method. So backup secure, and it's not Skype.
We'll be fixing it for next episode, so don't worry about that. This is just for this episode because it literally happened an hour ago, the update. So we didn't even have time to test.
Mm-hmm. On the plus, though, at least Twitch does have its chat system, and I am a subscriber there because I have Amazon Prime. Yay! So I have all the nice chat features, and people can still talk to us if they want to. So I will be monitoring the chat room, I promise.
All right, and since we are a podcast about cosplay, let's go ahead and start out with cosplay updates.
Yay.
I'm going to go first because mine are short. This has been my cosplay for the last 2 weeks.
Awesome. That looks very expansive and took a lot of time.
It's hip to be a square. What can I say?
Nice.
Yes. Yes, I worked hard for that one. I earned that
one. You earned that one.
No, basically because the last two holidays... the last 2 weeks have been a holiday here in the States. We celebrated Thanksgiving and Black Friday, which is something of an anti-holiday. But more or less, I haven't been home very much. I have been working my rear off, and when I wasn't at work, I was actually at home with my folks. So I actually couldn't bring cosplay to work on at my parents' house, especially because they have cats. And the cats really, really like to sit on things. Laps and... fabric projects included. So I actually had put off starting my next cosplay project until this coming weekend. And of course I have Symphony coming up, so there isn't going to be much progress to start with, but I'm going to kind of kick my rear into gear as best as I can and see what I can get done after that for the holiday, because I'll be working on Soraka. And since we were granted press passes to Marvelous Nerd Year's Eve,
yay!
Which is an event locally here, I may or may not have Soraka done in time. I don't know. I don't even know if I'll be able to go because it's going to be entirely dependent on work and things not exploding. But I will do what I can and see what happens. I need to purchase some electronics for it because I did not do so on Black Friday. I did not want to spend money. But I have all of the fabric. I have some working patterns. It's just a matter of actually getting up and starting to do it. And I have dug deep into my fabric stash, my massive fabric stash, which you guys can actually see on cam, all the paper boxes. My massive fabric stash. And I actually found some additional patterning fabric.
Oh, nice.
So at least I'll have something with which I can pattern this massive project, because it is rather large.
Yeah.
And I'll still end up having to get wig extensions for it.
All the stuff.
All the stuff. It really is. And there were some really good Black Friday deals. Speaking of, you know, wigs and extensions, some of them are still going on this week. By the time you guys hear this, they will probably be over. But hopefully you guys were able to get some good deals. I know Epic Cosplay was giving away random gift cards in all their purchases. I believe it was yesterday. You could get between $5 and $100 in your purchase. So I thought that was really cool. So yeah, that was it.
I have gotten quite a bit done, and most of it I've actually been live streaming. The live streaming thing has been helping me stay on track with what I've been wanting to accomplish. So that's been really cool. You guys saw me work on this last time, and I finally cut and styled this thing. It's currently under shelter, but once I actually like ruffle my fingers through this, it gets really poofy in the back. It's very Motoko Ghost in the Shell-like, but it's not supposed to be, I promise. So yeah, yay! All that long hair has been thrown away, and it's very depressing. Maybe eventually they'll start making short wefts instead of me having to waste so much wig fiber. I don't know. But I've also done some fun little crafting and carving this week, and I made this little sucker. Let me see if I can get a better view on this. Probably not. I'll take a photo and show it later. But there are little grooves in it. But I made this out of resin. Doesn't look like it, does it? But I totally made the sucker out of resin. It's going to be plopped on this lovely lady's head. Still working out the clasping system. I made it so I had, like, I drilled a hole in it. So it's got this really awkward elastic piece in the middle of it. I'm not too happy with that. I think what I'll end up doing is just tossing some felt on the bottom of it and then gluing the sucker into the wig because, you know, it's an easy style wig. I don't have to do a whole lot of upkeep for it. I can just squish it back in its bag, no problem. So that's the plan.
Magnet.
I don't like magnets. Magnets are evil. Magnets always hurt me.
All you gotta do is glue a washer on the end of the horn, stick it on the wig, and then stick a magnet behind the wig, and then you're good. You don't have to glue it. You can remove it for wig maintenance. Two thumbs up.
She says that I will still hurt myself. So anyway, this is almost done. I have sanded it down. I just need to prime it and paint it, and then we are good to go. And it's going to be pretty close to this color. It needs to be a little bit darker, more bone-like, less pristine white. But yeah, I'm really happy with how this came out. It only took 2 days to cast this sucker with our crazy weather going on. The humidity hasn't been bad. That's part of the reason why this set so well. I'm actually really happy I didn't have to do a whole lot of sanding and there weren't like 500 bubbles in this because that's my biggest issue with resin. Bubbles everywhere. It's not so gravy. So yeah, there you go. I'm proud of myself. Go me. Let's see. The other stuff that I have been working on. I did take advantage of all the Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales. And I have so much flippin' fabric. Like, you can see the rolls behind here, the one in red in particular. Yeah, that's just for one costume. It's for this costume. But it's just for one costume. And I also managed to snag a ton of spandex in the process. And I have even more spandex coming in this week. Oh my god. I think altogether I calculated that I've bought almost 30 yards of fabric over the 2 day period, plus two wigs, which I got from Epic Cosplay. I didn't know about their gift card thing because I did my purchase on Friday, and that was when they were having their discontinued styles sale. And one of them I was like, ooh, that's just like the right style I need and the right color. So I just snapped it up and didn't even think about it. So yeah, it was a glorious, glorious shopping time. And I saved quite a bit of money too. I save money by shopping. That makes no sense. But all the pink. This thing is a nightmare.
Well, you saved money on what you would have spent otherwise purchasing the same product.
Exactly. So I'm actually really happy with my purchases, as now I've got 3 full costumes. All the materials have been bought. They're either in my possession or they are on their way. I got half the materials for a 4th costume that are already purchased, so I'm just like flying through with next year already. Though I will say I am fairly disappointed in our Ruby fans. They suck at putting patterns online for use. There are no patterns for Blake's vest from season 1. Anywhere. I have tried, could not find any. So I'm going to make my own. I'm going to make my own pattern, and I'm going to make a couple sizes of this pattern, and then I'm going to put it online to rub it in everybody's face and say, why can't you all be nice and share your patterns? Because it should be fairly simple. End rant.
Because other people use commercial patterns and alter them.
They do, but her vest is so wonky, you can't really do most commercial patterns. And I've actually looked up a couple tutorials, and they're really great tutorials. There's no patterns included with them. And they go through the process of how they make their vest, and every single one of them ends up just hodgepodging it and putting them on themselves. Like, they don't even use a pattern. Actually, I had somebody suggest that I use the Princess Zelda costume, because that's pretty close. I mean, yes, you would still have to modify it. I don't think I'd spend the money for that particular pattern, but, you know, that's just me. So yes.
Oh, okay. I see what you're talking about now. I had to go back and look at the reference because it's been a little while since season one.
Yeah, her season four outfit is fabulous, but no, my group is for season one.
Actually, I think I remember seeing a pattern similar to this actually recently in, I want to say it's Simplicity set. I'll look.
I will bet you $5 that if I find it, or you find it and I buy it, it's not gonna work for me. I'm gonna be like, dang it, Amber, you
You're not gonna
suck.
like it. You're not gonna like it anyway because you don't like commercial patterns.
I really don't. The only one pattern that I really love is my
See?
corset pattern.
So even if I found one that was appropriate, you still wouldn't like it.
Nope. Not
So
ashamed.
what's the point? What's the point of me trying this?
You know what I actually do is I like to look at patterns just so I have a general idea about the shape and to see how things lay out. Because for me, it gives me a better idea about my starting point when I make my own pattern. That's usually why I look at patterns. I don't typically use them otherwise because they never fit me properly. You know, I'm not a normal body. There you go.
Well, yes, they're built for what used to be average shapes and are no longer.
I know, the average shapes no longer exist, so why bother?
Pretty much.
It's full of suck, is what it is. Hey, we have five people watching. Go us!
I'm cool with this.
We twitch and they come.
I have no complaints about this.
So anyway, that's pretty much my cosplay update. Do I have my thing? I don't think I have. No, shoot. I started working on my chainmail and I don't have my piece in front of me. I got the bag of rings. I'll have to bring that up next time because it's going along pretty nicely. Darn it. I'm actually working with chainmail too. You'd be so proud of me.
I am proud of you.
I'm growing up.
I like this.
I'm doing the thing, Ma. I'm doing the thing.
Right. All right, so shall we get on with our topic
Yeah, let's move to
of
our
the
topic.
episode? It's your baby, you can announce it.
Well, it's actually pretty self-explanatory.
You can announce it.
Well, it's actually pretty self-explanatory, so this is going to be a sad explanation. Sorry, guys. But just something that I had been noticing recently, and I thought it was really cool that cosplay in America, Ijen, we all know him, we love him, he's a cool guy. He's made this transition on his website to feature cosplayers and talk about like their origin stories and why they got into cosplay, what cosplay means to them, and it kind of spins off of his second Cosplay in America book. And I just thought it was really cool looking through them and just getting a better idea of what brings people into cosplay and how, even though we all have these different backgrounds and there's so much diversity in the cosplay world, it seems like a lot of us start getting into cosplay for pretty similar reasons. And then there's also an article which I will link up later in the show notes from Kotaku from early cosplayers in the 70s and 80s. What they went through, what took them to get into cosplay, because especially back then, they didn't have anywhere near as much content or access to craft items like we do today. So it's really interesting
Not
to
to mention
hear.
fewer reference picks.
God, it's like you get the one art book image if you're lucky. If you're lucky.
And it's only front. It's only head on.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's like my Magic Knight Rayearth costume. But it's interesting to read their stories because it reminded me a lot when I was a kid and I first started getting into anime, and it was like our only options were Toonami or whatever I could find at Blockbuster. Because just nothing else really existed. And for people in the 70s and 80s, it was trying to get tapes from Canada whenever they were dubbed, or like turning their TV antennas and hoping they can pick up a signal across the state lines and maybe they can catch an episode of something.
Illegal downloads from the internet.
That's a thing? What? Yeah, so basically, I just wanted to talk about our origin stories because we don't really talk about that a whole lot, at least between the two of us.
among the elder cosplayers.
Yeah, because we come from a very, and you come from a different background than I come from too. So it's just kind of like I still don't know how we work together because we have very different tastes. We just do.
Well, yes, but see, my background story is very simple. I just wanted to be one of the cool kids.
And cosplay is cool.
Well, I mean that in a very literal fashion, because the very first convention I went to, not counting Renaissance festivals, which are different kind of conventions, was Akon. And the first year I went to Akon, I did not cosplay because I didn't have any concept of what cosplay was at that point. I was still in costuming, which is what Rennies do. Rennies don't call it cosplay.
Yeah.
So I didn't have any concept of what that was. So when I first went to Akon and saw all these people in costume who were dressed as their favorite characters, but I wasn't, I kind of felt left out. And I was like, man, I want to do that next year. And so I did. And so I sewed my first costume and I bought a pattern off the internet and I made Deedlit. I didn't realize they sold wigs at that point because I had never bought one. So I went without a wig, just in the costume, just dressed up. So it was more costuming still than cosplay at that point. And had a great time, got my picture taken, was very proud of myself for sewing my first costume, and then I got the wig and finished it off and got all the accessories and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I'm one of the cool kids now. I dressed up. It's my favorite character. That was really it. I just wanted to belong and be one of the cool kids. And show my love for my favorite characters by dressing up like them.
You're right, that is kind of simple.
I came from a background where cosplay didn't exist. It was all costuming, so I didn't have any concept of that. I had been dressing up for years before I went to Akon when I went to Ren Fairs.
Yeah.
So I knew about dressing up, I just didn't know that was a thing at conventions.
And it's definitely a thing at conventions.
It is a very popular thing now. In fact, we're starting to get to a point where more than 50% of the attendees are dressed up.
And actually, I've seen some of my favorite wig stylists will actually rent out tables at conventions now and will do on-site styling for wigs. Granted, it has to be very simple styles because obviously you can't make Goku hair happen in like an hour. But, you
Well, see,
know?
back when I started, they didn't sell pre-made costumes at cons. They didn't really sell wigs at cons either.
Yeah.
People were still pretty much doing the I made this myself thing.
That was it. That was the only option.
Now when you go to cons, yeah, well, now when you go to cons, if you're like me during my first year and you go and you don't know cosplay's a thing and then you go and you're like, man, I wish I had a costume too. Well, now you can actually just go and buy a costume at the con, go into your hotel room and put it on and be like all the other cool kids in the span of 15 minutes.
Yep.
And now you can buy the wig there. You can now buy makeup there because now artists put their booth.
Yep.
You can get everything you need except for color. You have to color your eyebrows and such. They don't sell it yet. Everything else that you need, do sell now at con. So you can walk in with just t-shirt and jeans on and walk out in 15 minutes dressed as your favorite character.
There you go. That's all you really need. Yeah, it definitely wasn't like that. Heck, even 5 years ago? Like even 5 years ago, there was still some costumes at conventions, and I know it was mostly like it wasn't like Lolita garb. It was a couple like leather pieces or like corsets and stuff. There's always been corset makers at conventions. It's always boggled my mind. But like a lot of the pre-made full costumes didn't really happen until more recently. I guess I should probably go over then what got me into cosplay. And mine actually started very innocently enough. It was a Halloween costume contest at work. And we worked at a gaming place, so it was really easy for me to kind of jump in and figure out what I wanted to make, what I wanted to do. And I just remember walking into the Halloween store, because initially I was just going to buy a costume and be like, ah, you know, it's Halloween, whatever, not a big deal. And I saw this entire wall of stuff, which I lovingly dubbed the wall of sex. Because everything that I found there, it just exasperated me. I hated every single option. It was, you know, it was slutty nurse or slutty nun or slutty this or slutty that. And then the one costume that was covered and didn't have stuff like going all over the crate place, like high skirts and all that bull crap, was like the $59.99 full polyester nun outfit. And it was like, nah. I can spend this $60 somewhere else. So I ended up going across the street to Target, picking myself up a $15 sewing machine. It's a little Shark handheld, which I still have in my closet. The memories. Went to Hobby Lobby across the street from that, picked up about $30 worth of fabric, and I made myself a costume. Took me about a month. It was terrible. Parts of it are heat and bonded. And nobody knew what I was, because I did the Red Mage artifact armor from Final Fantasy XI, which, by the way, is total crap. Do not pick that as your first costume ever, because it's really, really difficult. But in having done that, I kind of want to make a new version of it. So I think that'll be fun. So nobody knew who I was. Everyone thought that I was a Red Musketeer. I was like, okay, that's fine. I'm cool with that, sure. But that kind of started the spark. And that same year, I ended up going to a con, and I saw people dressing up. And I thought, just like Amber, I was like, this is really cool. And I started asking people, you know, where they got their costume, what they did to it, how they made it. And everybody was pretty much like, oh no, we make our own costumes, make our own costumes. Because even a couple of years ago, because this was only 2008, people were still making their costumes. Pre-made costumes didn't really exist. And I just got the spark and was like, I want to make my own costume. I want to show how much I love, you know, this video game or this anime. So my first costume at a convention was Misato from Evangelion, which I used my real hair, and it was a very badly made cotton dress, but I was so stoked just to be wearing it and to meet other people in Eva costumes, and I was thrilled beyond my wildest dreams. I only had two photos taken of me, but even then I felt like, oh man, I'm part of the in crowd. This is gonna be so cool. I love it, I love it. And ever since then, I've just kept on going down that road. It was like, I just want to learn more, I want to make more, I want to meet new people, I want to have all these fun interactions and make new friends. And it's definitely been an eye-opening and diversive, inclusive experience. That sounds really awkward. I don't know how else to word it, unfortunately. But it's just one of those things where it's like I feel so much more involved and more in love with the geek community because of cosplay. And I just don't want to stop because of it. It's just so much fun.
Because something that I was thinking about as far as technique has come in the world. Back when I started, it was still the days of the bedazzler and puffy paints and screen printing. With making costumes, sewing was still not a thing that a lot of people did unless their mothers or their grandmothers had taught them and passed down an old metal clunky sewing machine to them. But I'm going to link this to Val because this is where we are today in terms of technique. And of course, this has to do with fire.
Oh, of course it has to do with fire. Why would it not do with fire?
Asking for years how to set their hair on fire without actually setting their hair on fire. This is
That's
where
really
we are now.
epic. That's epic.
So, when you guys see this on screen, this is from Baka Cosplay, BAKKA.
We are screen sharing that
And
mofo now.
okay, you have the camera set on you?
Yep, we're good. We are good. This is from Junkrat from Overwatch. I'm really
There
impressed
we
by
go. This
this.
way I can talk and it won't switch cameras now.
There you
Okay.
go.
So what they did on this wig is that is a set of embedded LEDs, which they strung together themselves. You don't have to do that. You could just get a little string of the rice lights that they sell for weddings. And that way, it's all you have to do is build up a little structure inside the wig, which you can do with certain types of felt. You basically either glue or stitch the LED down onto that structure, cover it with hair, just like, for a Goku wig or for any other spiked-shaped wig. You just happen to have an LED inside. The hair color is transparent enough that the LED shines through, which is the LEDs that she used are, I believe, yellow. So you could use like a little bit of tissue paper or something to cover it up and get the red. And then they just used a Sharpie or some other type of dark ink and they just blackened the edges so that it looks like fire. But the amazing part that you don't see in this picture, because it's not the video, the hair emits smoke.
Cool.
They actually built a structure so that the tips emit smoke.
That's
Not like it's
cool.
actually burning, obviously, but like little smoke pellets.
Right.
And I'm thinking, not only does this have application for wigs, for people who want to do things like Ghost Rider,
Right.
but it also has applications if you want to just build, because it's the same sort of kind of covering with hair, you would cover it with gauzy fabric. Same thing, but it's like, oh, we couldn't have done that 10 years ago.
Oh, no way.
Nobody would have done that 10 years ago.
All right, hang on. I'm screen sharing over to the video, and that way you can see the cosplayers page too. Obviously great at wig work, but there you go. That's really cool.
It gives it that realistic punch.
Yeah, it's ridiculously realistic. That is uber cool. Well, I'm hell of impressed, that's for sure. Wow.
It's like, so we've come from the days of bedazzling sequins to making wigs look like they're on fire
Fire.
in a realistic fashion.
That is
Oh,
extra cool.
oh. Oh, my heart feels so good. That feels so good.
There you go.
If you think about it, back then, when we joined, we were very simple, and we still wanted to join.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it's like to be a young person now seeing this
Yeah.
and not wanting to join. How can you look at something like that and not want to cosplay? How can you see things like the Space Marine from BlizzCon and not want to join?
Right.
The materials and techniques people have access to now. Now there's a Paltia. They just developed a new type of clay that can sit for 6 weeks and not cure, and you can come back and work on it, and then it will cure in 2 hours.
Nice.
Apparently, there's also a new type of foam that dries, that air dries,
Ooh.
and is extremely malleable and sandable. One of the people I follow on Facebook was showing me this new product that I think they only sell in Germany for right now, but they're trying to get it out worldwide. There's new thermoplastics coming out constantly.
Constantly.
We have 3D printers now. And people are putting up their printing files for free, their models, so that any parts and not have to spend all that time modeling it, just like the original people did. It's like there's so much that they have access to now that we didn't, that I can't think of any rational person who would see this and not want to cosplay.
Right. It's so easy to cosplay.
It's not only easy, but you can get a heck of a better results now.
Oh, goodness, yes.
And you don't have to make any of it yourself anymore if you don't want to. You can pay
Oh,
somebody else to do it and possibly do it better.
no. I mean, in even like the pre-made costumes that you can get from one of those generic stores, those are getting a lot better in quality too. Like, everything is just getting better.
I mean, they even have amazing prosthetics now that you can buy online. It's like, oh man, not only did I have it easy, but they get these amazing costumes and these amazing results. I'm not saying that people don't work for it now, because there are people who really, really work hard for what they get. just that overall it's a lot easier for kids these days.
Darn kids. It's easy for them and we just get older.
Yeah, it's easier for them to join the cosplay community. It really helps that old whippersnappers or older whippersnappers like us, because we're still young at heart, which is why we're still whippersnappers and we like to make trouble.
We do like make trouble.
But we're willing to pass on our knowledge freely to the next generation if all they have to do is ask.
Exactly.
It's like, hey, sure, yeah, I'll tell you how I did that.
And it's like, no problem. Here you go. Instructions.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So there you go. Cosplay origins. Yay.
Like, oh, flaming wig.
It's a really cool wig. I am very impressed by that. It looks very realistic from the game version, because that's a challenge, and I'm impressed. I'm really impressed by that.
Uh-huh. So were the members of the RPF.
Yeah, gee, I wonder why. You made your wig light up and smoke? What the fudge?
Yeah, man. I totally need to make a fireball that does that.
Yeah, you do. That'd be fun.
It's like, okay, I've got an Arduino Nano. I've got Raspberry Pi. I can get myself a small computer fan, a microcomputer fan.
Mm-hmm.
I have access to 10,000 pieces of fabric, and I have 3 yellow LEDs. What can I do with this? Can I MacGyver this together, make a gently flaming, kind of slowly blinking fireball that unfortunately doesn't smoke because I don't have any smoke pellets?
But that's okay.
I'm sure I could put smoke pellets in it.
Yeah. And it could be a thing.
You can get those from Hobby Shop, guys. They use the loaded. Go to Hobby Town USA. They'll have some. Do not use dry ice. I know it smokes.
No.
There's
don't.
A reason it smokes.
It's dangerous.
It's not the same reason that smoke pellets smoke.
It's dangerous. Just don't. Just don't.
Yeah.
Alright, so tutorial time?
Yes, let's.
Alright, tutorial time. And this one's coming from me, which, by the way, if you're watching right now, I will be streaming it live on Thursday. So yay, something to look forward to. And this is a new tutorial for us, something that we haven't done before, and it's all about combining patterns, because my stupid butt has to combine two patterns that I've made. And it's going to be a giant challenge and a huge pain in the butt, but in all of my challengeness, you guys are going to learn a lot. So, I hope that you enjoy it.
So first off, welcome. This is my crafting stream, Crafting Thursday. Yay! I'm going to be working on making a new pattern for myself, and to make this pattern, I'm going to be combining two separate patterns to turn it into one. So you may want to ask yourself, why would you want to put two patterns together? And it could be that you find a shirt design that you really, really like, or a dress, or pants, or whatever, and you like one part of it, but you don't like the other part of it. But then you find another pattern, and you're like, oh, well, I like this part of this pattern, and then this part of the second pattern. Can you combine the two of them together? Short answer, yes. Long answer, it can be kind of a pain in the butt, but it's totally doable. So what I'm going to be working on is actually a jumpsuit pattern. And I've made unitards before. This one's going to be very different from what I'm used to making, especially since it has almost no visible seams. There has to be side seams, otherwise it's not going to fit me properly. I have a bunch of patterns. I know I can make a unitard. It's just a matter of getting my patterns together and making it happen. And a lot of my patterns, especially like with my leggings pattern, I try to do it where I have the fewest amount of visible seams. My legging pattern, the one thing I really like about this is that there are no side seams. It's all a front crotch seam, a back crotch seam. It turns the fabric into a tube, and then you just create one long seam on the inside of the leg. So it's three seams total. My Sailor Moon Fuku, the pattern for that, there's only three seams in that as well, four if you don't want to use buttons or snaps in the crotch area. And the seams on that one are the shoulders, and then there's one long seam in the back. Sounds great in theory, but because this one has to be a pretty fitted unitard, I can't just simply squish the two patterns together. I have to make a new pattern. By the way, check out my pattern weights. Yeah, buddy. I am high tech with my pattern weights. It's whatever I can find. So what I'm going to do first, because I don't want to cut up my original pattern. Well, this is not my original pattern. This is probably pattern number three. I don't want to cut this one up. I want to have another version of it instead. I'm going to go ahead and just retrace this pattern for myself. And while I'm doing that, we can talk about the wonderful benefits of combining patterns together. One, it's best if you have experience sewing. If you've never sewn before, don't just start cutting and chopping and going willy-nilly with it. It can be very disorienting because your whole goal is to have a really nice garment at the end of the day, right? So what I would recommend to people who are interested in combining multiple patterns together, be aware of how patterns work. If you're not a person who's into buying commercial patterns, it can get really confusing really quickly if you don't know how they work. If you make your own patterns, that's fine. I mean, then you shouldn't have a problem being able to splice and dice and do your own thing. And another thing that I would recommend is if you like using commercial patterns, if you want to splice two or three patterns together, like let's say you want to take a shirt top that you really, really like, and you want to change the sleeves, you like a sleeve on another shirt, sweater, whatever better, you can do that. But it is recommended use patterns that are from the same company. So, you use a McCall pattern with another McCall pattern, or a Berta with a Berta, or a Quick Sew with a Quick Sew. And that's because these pattern companies have their own little niches and they do their patterns a little bit differently from each other. None of the patterns are incorrect. They're all, I mean, everybody does things a little bit differently. It's just as simple as that. But when you put together a Quick Sew with a McCall pattern, you're going to run into a lot of headaches because two of them use different types of sizing systems. They have different metrics. They have different scaling. And the point of like something with quick sew, it's in the name, it's a quick sew, meaning it's going to be very fast for you to put a piece together. McCall's is not like that. McCall's has a variety of patterns and they range from like beginner level to expert level sewer. And they have a very interesting sizing system. I'm actually not a fan of their sizing system. I think they're a little oversized in some areas and then undersized in others. So it can be very, very confusing. So when you take a quick sew pattern and you try to squish it on top of a McCall pattern, you're going to end up spending more time having to readjust and make a lot of extra seams and lines just to get the two patterns to work together. So stick to one brand. Okay, that's going to be the thigh, and that's going to be the knee. I always mark the crap out of this. This is the front. And I would also recommend that if you are going to use a store-bought pattern to combine together, lots of noise. What I would recommend that you do is cut out the store pattern, like each one of them individually, based off of the sizing instructions on the packet. So if you're like a size 12, cut out the size 12. But if the second packet says that you're more of a size 14, cut that out in a size 14. It's easier to start when you have a better, like when you have a good baseline, like that you know that you're the closest to size 6, 10, 12, whatever. It makes life much, much easier. Otherwise, the nice thing about this is that most of the time it's just as simple as plopping the two together, kind of shifting stuff around, and then drawing a couple extra lines. I say it's that simple. Really, the trick to it is going to be in your mock-ups. I find when you have to combine patterns together, you have to make a ton of mock-ups. Sometimes you have to make two or three extra ones just to make sure everything sits correctly, because that may not always be the case. Woohoo! All right, so this is the front half of my legging pattern. This is my leotard pattern. My leotard pattern is very, very interesting. It's split at the center because, it's meant to be a Sailor Moon pattern, and they always have that bust line. What I did differently in this one is because I can't have any type of, like, visible front seams. Both of these patterns are set up to eliminate that front seam. So this should be relatively simple. It's almost like when I put this on the fabric, the fold is going to be right here, and then this is the rest of the fabric. However, I don't want any visible back seams. I want it to be a side seam, so that way it fits me better. So really all I need to do is just cut this straight down the middle and then pop it on top of this. And luckily, because this is a fairly straightforward leotard pattern, and this is a copy of my pattern, it's not the original. All I need to do is just go straight down from the bottom loop of the armhole. And what I need to do is I'm going to end up making a second portion of the pattern where it's going to be just the back. So I'm going to focus on the front half first. So it's going to be something kind of close to this. You see how they're set up, but, and we're going to move this so it's a little bit easier to see. Obviously, I can't just kind of plop these two together because there is this nice little divot. There is a gapping here. It's not going to be as easy as just plop and go. I'm going to have to make some adjustments so that way it'll fit properly. Plus, where this sits on my body, it's probably around my midsection that I'm going to have to add in at least 2.5 inches between this gap so that it'll fit me better. And in the process, it'll allow me to actually draw lines, keep this line straight, because again, this is going to be the front fold, so we can't screw this part up. But I'll have to draw a line in this area to make it conform properly. And I think the easiest way of doing this is to roll out a new sheet of paper and then redraw the entire pattern. So I'm going to start from the bottom and work my way up. And if you're using a pre-made pattern, this is pretty much exactly how you would do it, is you take the pieces, you redraw them on a new sheet of paper, and then you have a new pattern, and then we do a mock-up from there. And since this is a straight line, let's go ahead and make this straight. And oh hey, pattern weights! And I would also recommend is if you're using a store-bought pattern and you haven't made the garment before, take the time and actually make the original garment as it's instructed before diving in and deciding that you need to splice up the pattern to create your own. And I say this because the sewing instructions might be different for each pattern. Like, you may get that shirt sleeve pattern and realize that the sewing instructions are a lot more complicated than what you're used to seeing, or it requires a certain type of thread or a certain type of fabric, and then you realize, oh wait, I can't really use this. It's better to find out about that, making a mock-up of the original before you start splicing and dicing, getting halfway through your new pattern and realizing, oh, this is not going to work. That feeling sucks immensely. I am definitely going to be smoothing this out. There we go. There we go. And there's a cut line's going to be between the middle of this. I'm at a very odd angle right now. And the reason I'm able to freehand this so well is because, again, this is my personal pattern. I made this pattern. I know it fits me. So I can be a little bit more loose with it because I know exactly what's going to happen to it. Plus, it's going on spandex. Spandex is very, very forgiving, and you can always take it out. It's great. All right. So, remember what I said earlier? This is going to be the top of the legging. We need to add about, 2 inches or so to make up for my torso. Let me move this over so it's a little bit easier to see. So we got 2 inches, and I'm going to straighten this section. There we go. So that way it's a lot more even. And then for my own benefit, I'm going to go ahead and mark this out. Yep. But yeah, it's very rare that you need to involve math in this, which is nice. Now, if you have something like a Renaissance garment or something that involves a skirt, you may want to consider bringing out the calculator and getting some numbers crunching, because that can be a mess. And then this is the area that we're going to have to connect the dots. It's going to have to be a nice, gentle slope back here. Having a yardstick helps too, especially when you have to do these big patterns. Look, the pieces together! So this is the center front, this is center back, oop, this is the front piece. Don't be afraid to label everything on your pattern. It's the same thing with muslin. Don't be afraid to write on your muslin. Alright, I'm going to go ahead and cut off the rest of this, and we'll roll this up. There is the new front half of the piece. So once you are done making your new pattern, the next thing that you want to do is you need to make a mock-up. Have to make a mock-up. This is the only way to ensure that your pattern merging actually worked. First couple times you do this, you may run into trouble. You may have to make some tweaks. It may not work out properly. That's okay. That's why you make a mock-up. The mock-up lets you know where your mistakes are, so that way you can easily fix them and see what you need to do next to make sure that you're going in the right direction.
We're going to bid you guys a wonderful evening on this episode 129 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. Social media explosion!
Boom! Here! Everywhere! Okay, maybe not there, but like there and there. There we go. Explosion!
We'd like to thank you guys as always for watching and downloading the show. We will have even better and cooler technology stuff for you guys next episode in the form of a working hangout.
Yay!
We'd like to thank you to the fans who have written to us with fan mail. We sincerely appreciate that.
Yay!
We're already kicking in gear, getting ready for AllCon next year.
God, yes.
We may see you guys at Marvelous Nerd Year's Eve.
Yay!
And of course, you guys will be seeing more of us here on the internets. As always, you can write us with comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, compliments, anything that you would like. Our email address is podcast@cosplay.org. If you guys have suggestions for us for interviews, we are already setting up our end of year really awesome guest interview, just waiting to hear back from them. And we've also got a couple others lined up for you guys that we think that you'll find interesting. So until then, we'll bid you guys adieu. Happy cosplaying. Happy Thanksgiving. See you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye, kiddos. Have fun.